Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Let me remind you that you, our listeners, make up this broadcast. Our format is that of questions and answers. We set forth the postulate the position, ask you the questions, and allow you to, as some have used the term, I'll allow you to put in your 2 cents worth. We're going to be talking about a very serious, controversial theological issue today. The question is this: did Jesus Christ, down the cross, buried, go to hell, and then 3 days later resurrected? The essence of that question is, did Jesus Christ go to hell for us? I'll never forget, I probably 20, 25 years ago, watching on one occasion with Jan and Paul Crouch, sitting on the platform with the television cameras going, and Jan with her truckload of makeup started weeping and the makeup flowing, and she said, just think, Jesus Christ died and went to hell for me. For me, he went to hell. Now, that's a theological, dogmatic doctrine that's being preached and taught today that's causing confusion, and it's erroneous, it's unbiblical, and there's no foundation in context, hear that word, in context, in any verse in the Word of God that would validate that position. So we'll be talking about that today. Love to have your thoughts, your questions, your comments. Perhaps you've been told that. Love to hear what you've been told. Love to hear what you believe. Love to hear where you find it to be true, according to your understanding, in the Scripture. We, after all, it's not a matter of a philosophy or opinion. It's not a matter of denominational dogma. It's not a matter of some rhetoric, but it's a matter of what does the Word of God say in context. And for those that have not heard me on subjects like this before, there are 5 things that's important in what's called biblical hermeneutics, that is, biblical interpretation. Word hermeneutics simply means the art and science of biblical interpretation. And there are 5 things that's important in the hermeneutic process of studying the Scripture, and that's context, 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 context. If it's a verse out of context, it is a pretext and should never be used for a text. That's a pretty good, pretty long mantra, but it makes the point, I believe. And when you talk about the first context, in that word, what does it mean? In that sentence or that verse, what does it mean? In that paragraph of thought, what does that word mean? In that chapter in the Bible, what does that word mean? And in the totality of Scripture, what does it mean? If any verse, any understanding of any verse, is in conflict with anything else in the totality of the Scripture, we need to sit back, sit up, and say, we've made a mistake. God didn't. And there's not any place in the Word of God where there is a controversy or confusion in relationship to what God is saying. We'd be better off as Christians, as human beings, if we'd simply say, I don't understand that verse. God's saying something that I don't understand. And leave it there rather than saying, this is what I think, this is what I believe, this is, in fact, that's one of the major problems with what we call home Bible studies. That's what is the problem with so many today. They will have the little ladies' Bible study or the men's Bible study or youth Bible study where everybody has their say-so, and there's not a theological doctrinal mind that will set the stage for reality of what the Scripture is saying. Thus saith the Word of God. God's Word does not make mistake, and there are no errors in it. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, you feel free to call today. We'll have a brief monologue, and after that monologue, Pastor Davis and I will talk about this issue. Did Jesus Christ die and go to hell for us? That's the question. And you can respond to that question. We're going to try to hold the responses to the focus on where we are today with that question. So I'm not trying to narrow it down too much for you to call, but we'd love to hear from you in relationship to biblical, theological, doctrinal truth as relates to that major, major question. Did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Was he buried? Did he go to hell and then was resurrected on the third day? What's the truth of the scripture? What verses do we go to validate any position, either pro or con, on that subject? So let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book, John 8:31-32. As Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus makes a de facto dogmatic statement. He says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to place our trust and confidence in, and not in what someone says or some denominational dogma. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, that telephone number that you can call in during the course of today's broadcast is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'll try to remind you of that several times during the course of the broadcast. Recently had a lady that called after a broadcast and said that she did not remember the number, did not hear the number. So I want to make sure that everybody hears that number, 904-831-0917. That telephone number dials right into the studio, right to our microphones, so that we can answer your questions, comments, and respond to your dialogue and discussion on the issue. It's truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the most recent survey found says that the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, and I quote, "The millennial age group, 55%, say that each person determines their own version of truth." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's bad enough in the political arena. That's bad enough in philosophical rhetoric. That's bad enough in secular situations. But it is horrible when the mindset then flows into biblical, doctrinal, theological truths, where the mindset is that each person determines their own version of truth. That doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, just as the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus said, he made a powerful statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's our intent on this broadcast each and every day. We'll seek the truth, and that's not on Communist Network News. We'll listen to truth, and that's not on CBS, NBC, and ABC, MSNBC, etc. Learn the truth and love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and ladies and gentlemen, we need to be willing to stand and defend the truth even to death. And that's our goal, that's our mantra, that's our approach and strategy on this broadcast each and every day. Whether we're talking about political issues, moral, ethical issues, biblical issues, we're talking about economic issues, or if we're talking about those issues that I would call eschatological prophetic truth in the Word of God. We need to recognize God's Word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That's a good benchmark. Identifier, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff at Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today, as our guest, as we talk about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis is from up in the wonderful state of Georgia, down in South Georgia, down in Folkestone, Georgia. Always delighted to have Pastor Davis with us. Thank you for coming today.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. I just thank you for the opportunity to be able to share with God's people again on today the Word of God, the study of God, theology, you know, in its proper definition.
Yes.
Certainly, we as people of God should know all about God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we think about what the Apostle Peter told us in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, he said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
Amen.
God has given us all things.
Yes. And it's found in his word.
Amen. Unto this life.
That's right.
And what we need to know how to live a godly life.
Yes.
A life that's well-pleasing to him.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have done, Dr. Youngblood, as we began to, you know, have a few words before the broadcast came on, you know, we talked about several things and where the confusion has really generated or where it's coming from and how far it's continued to go, even from the times of the apostles all the way up until this day and time.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's due to the fact of false teachers being out there.
False teachers.
And false doctrine that's already been recorded in history by people who truly did not know God and did not understand theology or the study of God properly as they should.
Well spoken. In fact, some of the things we'll discuss today, ladies and gentlemen, are rooted in some of the false theology and false doctrine of yesteryear with some of the old, may I say again, old church fathers that some had major, how would you say, twisted, perverted, unethical beliefs system. And as a result of that, multitudes today will stand and preach and teach or read commentaries and books by some of those that were in error themselves. And as a result of that, coming up with a false conclusion as to what the Scripture is saying. Today, ladies and gentlemen, the modern in modern Christianity, there seems to be a greater and greater interest in appeasing the world rather than pleasing God. That's the bottom line. I believe it's an attempt to please the world rather than pleasing God. Today, the modern, what I call woke culture, has now become the mantra and the message of the church, and it ought not to be. Let me give us several illustrations of that, where the woke culture crept into the church, and the church today becoming the giving the mantra and the message of the church that is from the woke culture, and what the world thinks and says. The modern church, for example, has embraced the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. I can say that dogmatically. Every denomination, to a greater or lesser degree, have embraced the sodomite lifestyle, the sodomite mantra. Today, ladies and gentlemen, the modern church has decided that numbers, nickels, and noses are more important than preaching and teaching the truths of the Word of God. My wife and I were talking this morning as we were talking about biblical truths, how today there seems to be a mindset of having a concern for filling the pews, filling the seats, and do anything and say anything to entertain the world, to bring the world inside the church. God's Word never intended that. God's Word never intended that to be so.
Amen.
We brought the world into the church, and therefore we want to do that which appeases the flesh rather than pleasing the Savior.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we find the focus in the modern church is simply to be silent on issues that I believe are controversial, yes, but I believe things like the political agenda, the sexualizing and the brainwashing of our children in the schools, the transsexual butchering and the barbaric approach that is taken, being pushed by Joe Biden and the whole Biden administration, is now in some fashion being swept under the rug in silence. Or if it is spoken of, it's spoken of in a positive fashion from the pulpits and in our churches today. Our churches are now featuring drag queens, drag queen shows that will draw the crowd and fill the pews. I'm looking at an article, Pastor Davis, that is frightening. Drag is holy. The title of the article, Drag is Holy. It's dated March the 23rd. It said, according to a San Diego pastor, drag is holy. You can't make this up, this writer says. The pastor says this in a video that he took of himself dressed with rainbow colors adorning his religious wear. He confidently says, quote, drag is holy. There's been an assault on the rights of drag performers in this country, he said, and we must call out the hypocrisy and the injustice. Really? It gets worse. He goes on to say, quote, Jesus called himself a mother hen longing to gather up his chicks. Gender is a construct, you see, and if Jesus can be a mother hen, you can be dressed in drag, says. He says, I've even heard it said that Jesus was, and his humanity is, God is drag, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the most blasphemous thing that I've read recently. Do I go through hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of articles on a weekly basis? That's probably the most frightening that I've seen, that he says drag is holy. And he tries to equate that with some perversion of an interpretation in Scripture. I use that simply, ladies and gentlemen, as a point of reference to show how you can take Scripture and pervert it and twist it and either intentionally or ignorantly preach and teach or embrace things that are simply not factual biblically.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, as you said that, listen, you know, I hope that the church will wake up.
Yes.
We're speaking to you on the day.
Mm-hmm.
You true believers, you that say that you believe in God, you love him, and you believe in his word, the Holy Bible, you need to wake up. Because at one point in time, we used to read the daily newspaper, and we read about these things in other countries. But wake up, my friend.
It's here today.
It's now at your front door.
At the front door. Absolutely.
So listen, what we have to understand, the church used to be a place of peace and righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's become the seedbed of confusion because we are sitting on our hands and we're allowing this stuff to creep in.
Absolutely. This is the reason Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And he's talking about the truth that's found in the word of God, not
Amen.
Some ideological bent, not some denominational dogma. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about I'm trying to build up to the point of reference of the subject at hand today. If you've heard me very often, you understand I start with what, and I teach this in research and writing in the college, that we start off with an inverted pyramid. You get the broader and you focus down, trickle down to the more narrow point and make the emphasis, the understanding of what you're talking about. When you do theological research, when you do anything that's called a thesis or a dissertation, use an inverted pyramid with doing the research and the writing on the broader subject to trickle down to the point at hand and the emphasis that you want to make and the discussion that you're trying to present. That's what we're doing in preparation for what we're about to say in relationship to the question, did Jesus go to hell for us? Today, our churches, Pastor Davis, are silent when it comes to addressing the COVID death jab. Today, our churches are silent when it comes to questioning Joe Biden and his Biden cabal and the destruction of the morals, ethics, and the values in our nation.
Amen.
Churches
Amen.
And pastors and most Christians are fearful to openly challenge the decline of morals and ethics and values that are now being pushed by this administration. And that's bad enough, Pastor, but the issue gets even more serious than that when we look at and understand some of the theological, doctrinal misbeliefs, disbeliefs, misinformation, disinformation that's going around. For example, and we'll give this as a kind of a litany of some of the theological, doctrinal issues that abounded about today that there is a disbelief in, a rejection of, or some quirky understanding and presentation of. For example, the mode of baptism. Is it sprinkling or is it baptism by way of immersion? baptizo, what does it mean? That's the basic word we find in the scripture for baptize. It means to immerse. But yet there's a major controversy among theologians, among pastors and churches and Christians about that subject. What about eternal security? There are a lot of pastors and theologians and churches today and Christians are thinking, be saved today, lost tomorrow, saved today, lost tomorrow. You get saved on Sunday, you get baptized, and you get saved, have sin in your life next week. You have to be baptized, have to be saved again, be baptized again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Pastor, I think of that, and I heard on one occasion where this dear lady comes up out of the baptismal waters, and she says, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. This is my 490th time of getting saved.
Wow.
It sounds almost laughable if we're not so serious. We're talking about things that are serious, doctrinal, theological truths that today are misunderstood, misrepresented, And as a result of that, it's causing multitudes of people to be confused. In fact, my wife said several times, it is amazing, it is a miracle that anybody can get saved based on the confusion, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, that's being espoused based on denominational dogma that's Amen. Going out from the pulpits. What about speaking in tongues? Is it biblical? There are a lot of people today that say that it is. There's some that say that, as I use the term, that you can speak in ecstatic utterances and leap tall pews with a single bound. That's simply not found any place in the scripture. And we've had entire discussions on that. I preached entire messages on that subject. But ladies and gentlemen, the errors that we're talking about are very, very serious. The major error today that we want to discuss, and the balance of this broadcast is going to be covering the verses under question in relationship to this subject. Then the question is, today, the question that needs to be reckoned and dealt with, that when Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and then he spent 3 days in hell, and then he was resurrected. So the question, Pastor, is, where does this doctrinal error come from? Did Jesus really descend into the pits of hell and preach the gospel to the prisoners in hell, as some refer to it? The widely used Apostles' Creed. Here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. The widely used Apostles' Creed. Now, I don't want to be, how would you say, in any way denigrative to those, but there are a number of denominations that they will have a routine on a Sunday in a service where they'll stand, someone will stand and read parts of the Apostles' Creed. And then that sets the stage for the balance of their worship that day. It becomes nothing but a crusty, false theology that's couched in some creedalism that was set up by those of yesteryear. But in the Apostles' Creed, created in AD 390, the statement in part says, was speaking of Jesus, was crucified, dead, buried, and descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. That's not in the Bible any place. There's not a verse in the scripture that can even be taken out of context and make it say that.
Amen.
But
amen.
That's what was used in that creed until the version of the creed was changed in AD 650. Now if that were biblical, in AD 390, why was it changed in an updated version in AD 650? The truth of the Word of God stands forever, ought not to be modulated in any way modified or changed. It stands forever. But if it were in the Apostles' Creed in AD 390, then all of a sudden there was an update. The Word of God doesn't need any updating, Pastor.
Amen.
The Word of God stands, and it will stand the question of time. And it will be true in all of eternity.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, many well-meaning Christians, pastors, churches will preach and teach this very dangerous, false doctrinal error. First of all, Pastor, I want us to talk about two things very briefly that sets the stage for where we're going. The word hell in the scripture comes from Gehenna, Tartarus, Sheol, and Hades. Hear me. Gehenna. talked about in the scriptures, the valley of Gehenna, where there's fire, the rubbish and debris is cast out of the city, and there's a fire going 24/7 outside the walls of Jerusalem back in the Old Testament era. It was called Gehenna, the valley of Gehenna. That's because of the fire that was burning. Then you have the word Tartarus, which simply means fire and brimstone. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, ultimately Satan will be cast into hell, the English Bible says. It's the word Tartarus. It's talking about fire and brimstone. In Luke's gospel, the 16th chapter, the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man died and went to hell. And five times in verses 19 through verse 31 in Luke chapter 16, he talks about he's tormented in these flames. So understand the word for the biblical word for hell that's talking about fire and brimstone is the word Gehenna and Tartarus. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look in the scripture, in the King James text and many other translations, the word for Sheol, which is the Hebrew word, is translated hell. The word Hades, the Greek word for hell, both of those words, Sheol and the grave, simply mean Sheol and Hades simply mean the grave.
Amen. Amen.
And Pastor, I find it ironic. I find it sad. I find it absolutely disturbing that many will take those words and not understand what the scripture is saying in relationship to it. And as a result of that, we'll build a false doctrine, a false theology upon that and not understand the danger of it. Pastor, read for us, if you will, Revelation chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15. We're going to look at this briefly and set the stage for where we're going. We need to understand that the word that's used in the King James text that says hell is talking about the grave, the word that's used in the New Testament and the Old Testament that is the word for hell is the word that simply means the grave. And in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, Pastor Davis, read that for us. Then we're going to talk about that for a moment.
Okay, let's go back to verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire. And I think that's kind of relevant to what we're saying.
Yes, that's Tartarus. Mm-hmm. That's fire and brimstone.
Were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Notice, Pastor, in that 13th verse, and the sea gave up the dead. That is, if your body is cremated and the ashes poured out on the water, it doesn't make any difference where that body is. At the time of the judgment of the lost, which is talked about here, the great white throne judgment, God will bring that body back together and it'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, "And we're in it, and death and hell, that's death in the grave, delivered up the dead, which were in them, and they were judged, everyone according to the work. And death and hell, that's death in the grave, were cast into the lake of fire. That's Tartarus. That's the word for the fire and brimstone. This is the second death.
Amen.
Whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. That's Tartarus, the place that is called hell. So, ladies and gentlemen, just in that unit of thought alone, it points out the vast difference between the grave and that place that is called hell. There's a vast difference in that. And yet we have people today preaching and teaching and in some Bible studies spreading the false theology, the false doctrine that Jesus Christ went to hell and was there for 3 days preaching to the spirits in hell and then resurrected. We're going to come back right after the news, ladies and gentlemen. After the top of the hour news, we'll come back and complete this thought. We want to get deeper into this study. Stay tuned. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.